Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. I ask that you open up your mind, your heart, your ears to receive today what God has given for me to share. Book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30. I'm going to be reading verses 11 through 15. Deuteronomy 30:11, it says, "For this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we might hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it. For the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil." The book of Joel, chapter 3. The book of Joel, just before Amos. Joel, chapter 3. Joel, chapter 3, verse number 14. The Bible says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." And finally, this afternoon in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Mark, chapter 8, verses 34 and 35. Mark 8, chapter 34, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." Jesus, we love you and we thank you today for the privilege we have of standing in a sanctuary where your Spirit dwells. I'm asking God right now in the Holy Ghost that you would touch our minds, our hearts, our soul. Allow the Holy Ghost right now, God, to manifest and to minister to us as we reach out to you. We give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Sitting back in his chair as he and another young man who, too, was about to step into a similar realm of a ministerial role. As the two of them sat there together, the one young man asked the question, "How did you begin your new life in Christ?" Pondering the other young man's question for just a moment, it was then that the young man who was presented with this question began to share his story. He started by saying it was several years ago now, but I remembered it as if it was yesterday. Growing up in a home where living for God was never offered as an option. In my early teens, without no guidance nor direction, I was one who quickly learned the art of experimenting with alcohol, tobacco, and a selection of drugs. While I was in this experimental stage, having quite a mixture of friends during my teen years, I was also introduced to what I call going to church. At first, none of my church experiences did much for me, but when I was 21 years of age, a friend of mine invited me to what he said was a growing, and in his words, a moving church. So I decided to give it a try like I had done the others, and it was on a Sunday night in which I attended the service, and it was I who, in this service, for the first time, I felt God like I had never felt him before. And then it was the preaching that ignited something within my soul, something I never expected as ever even having been there. I mean, like never before, as the preacher preached the word of God, I felt an unquenchable hunger as well as a longing inside to have filled what I believe to be an empty spot in my life. And what I'm saying is the parties never satisfied me. The tobacco, the booze, the drugs, they were never able to fill that emptiness that I felt inside. And on the night that I attended the church, all I can say is the message was for me. It was on that night I was offered the chance to take a Bible study in order for me to learn about the potential of my beginning a new walk with God, along with the many changes that would and were about to come along with it. After the service, I told my friend, I'll sleep on it and I'll let you know tomorrow. This afternoon, for the next while, I want to preach you a message that I have titled, The Night I Struggled with Choice. The Night I Struggled with Choice. I remember how that on the way home, I didn't say too much, and once we said our goodbyes, I went straight to my room, and I began to ponder just what it was that had happened that night, as well as whether or not I would take this Bible study, or even if I was willing to begin a new walk with God that was being offered to me. From what I observed in the church that night, by looking at the many others who were there, if I chose to take this new journey on, I felt deep in my heart that I was preparing to take quite a ride. Things were no doubt were going to change. Surely my life was going to spin around in a different direction. I saw how they dressed, and I was overwhelmed by their mode of worship. The Bible to them and that night and even to me was a springboard that was ready to thrust me, as well as all who desired it to, into a new dimension with God. It was something I've never felt. It was something I never experienced. I never heard it said like that. And beyond all that, it was as if it was directed right at me. As I lay in my bed that night after church, I wondered, would my whole life have to change? Would I be willing to sacrifice and to give, or even to be willing to do what I felt was waiting for me just around the corner? So many thoughts and so many questions, yet everything that was rushing through my mind as I lay there in bed was centered upon one word, choice. And with that, I fell asleep. I want you to know that ever since the beginning of time, the one thing that God has given to mankind, ladies and gentlemen, likened to no other creature can nor ever will possess, which is none other than the process of making and deciding upon a choice of an action or a direction that we as people in our lives would choose to embark upon. Animals go by their instinct. They do what seems natural to them. They live, they eat, they fight, they live, and they die as a part of instincts, a part of what was inbred into them. But humanity, on the other side, what we do is we can make a choice, and we can decide the outcome of our life, where we go, what we do. Everything in our life is my choice. It's not instinct. So from the time that Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden until now, we as mankind have had and will continue to have the God-given ability of choice. You ever hear somebody say, it's my choice. This is what I want. And what I choose to do. I choose what I don't want to do. As that young man lying in his bed that night, not really knowing what tomorrow would truly hold for him in view of the decision or in view of the outcome in the midst of a restless sleep, the struggle, or shall I say the battle, that was going through his mind was what really will my decision. What is it that my choice will bring me? If it is I who agrees to embark upon this new journey of life, a life with God, what's going to happen? I mean, I don't even know a whole lot about it. I haven't had a lot of time to study or to think about it. And it was I was only there for this service just last night, but my whole world exploded and everything turned upside down and my thoughts were racing and my mind was questioning and considering. I want you to know this afternoon that in the midst of this congregation that's here today, there are those of you in view of your own testimonies who'd be able to sit across a table from another in order to tell your story. Your story of the night that you struggled with choice. I don't know. I'm not sure. What if it's not the truth? What if it's a lie? What's going to happen to me and my family, my friends? So many choices, so many decisions. I want to stop for just a moment to consider this word choice or choices. In this life, there are and there will come to us every day that we live choices in concerns to our jobs, our schooling, where it is that we're going to live, and even the thought of the choice of who one day you're going to be marrying. It's your choice. You'll choose that. I'll decide that. Accompanying some of our choices, our decisions, you might say, well, they're easy to be made. Well, in view of other choices, your choice is what can prove in themselves to be very difficult. Why is that? Because maybe you've never done this before. Maybe it is because you are unsure of what will occur in your life if it is you who in your decision-making process chooses to do or to embark upon or to thrust yourself out into the unknown in order for you to experience whatever it is that lies ahead of you. You ever go back in your mind thinking about the first time you rode a bike, maybe the first time you went swimming? First time you ever were away from mom and dad. The night that you walked down the aisle with your significant other and the wedding was all over and now it's time for the two of you to go home together. How about that time maybe in that operating room, in the delivery room, and there you were and it was time for your firstborn to come along? What is really going to happen? What is really going to occur? Where is this going to take me? What is my destiny going to hold? These things are new, and so inside a war and a struggle and a fight and really a battle does begin. See, changing your life's focus sometimes is not an easy thing to do. Submitting your life to or living your life for God and surrendering your will in some cases is not something that just anyone in their lives often is ready to do. Ha ha! What? I don't think so. This was who I am. I'm not used to giving up my will for God's will. I was one who charted my course of life thus far, and now, in this new life in Christ, it is I who is being called upon to be willing to change. Wow. And from that moment on in your life, the struggle with the word choice, yours, begins. What are you going to do? How are you going to embark on that new way? In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 30, it's where we find Moses dealing with people before him in view of the subject of a choice. Verse 11 says, begins with the words, "For this commandment which I command thee this day, it's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off." In verse 14, it was Moses who declares, "But the word is very nigh thee, it's in thy mouth, in thy heart, that thou mightest do it." Think about it. This wasn't something new. It wasn't just out of the box. Hear me. As the people in their lives and in their walking with God, no doubt, were taught, and they had rehearsed from a very young age, as their parents and the prophets had taught them, what it was that God in their lives would require of them. Yet on this particular day, we find that it was Moses who was taking the time to express to those that were before him a matter of choice. I want to tell you, not everybody that walks through the church doors, not everybody that says that they love Jesus, claps their hands, sings the songs, and even listens to the messages, are going to live their life for God. Not everybody says, they gave me a Bible, and I'm so happy to have it, and I couldn't tell you where it was today because I put it away several months ago, and I'm not sure what I did with it, is going to read it. Each of us here today are not here, I hope, because of force. But it's because of you who in your heart who loves God. We talked about that in our class this morning. What does God think of my obedience? They love me. They honor me. They reverence me. See, if it is you who in your life who has chosen to follow after what it is that God's asked you to do in your life, it tells God something. I love you enough to trust you and to follow after you. Well, how about in view of those of you who as a child have been the ones brought up under the care of your parents who are in the church and under a ministry that your parents have chosen to follow after? You in your later years will come to a time when it will be you who will be the one to be faced with that same mode of choice. When it will be you who then who choose to continue to follow in this life, living your life for God, or to one day turn and walk away. You see, it's a choice, and that choice is yours. My children are not the best kids in the whole wide world like yours. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that my children chose to live for God. I never grew up without knowing my dad was an alcoholic, because he was. Profanity and cursing the name of God. Didn't know if I was going to get beat because I said the wrong thing. Being kicked out at a young age. I didn't grow up in a church or in a world that people, you know, they did everything good. My children, I can tell you today, before God, they never saw me drunk, high on drugs. They never had to forage for food. They didn't have to worry whether mommy and daddy would be home. I didn't have that care, because it wasn't the care I had. And they chose to live for God in whatever capacity they're living for God. They chose that life. I didn't say, if you don't live for God, I'm done. That's not how God is. You see, it's your choice, young person. In verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 30, as Moses surveys the people, he looked before him. No doubt he scanned the crowd. I want to tell you that today. He proclaims, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, or death and evil. What are you saying, Moses? You do what you want to do. That's what I'm telling you. You decide. This is reckoning time. This is the day where you say, this is what I will do, and that is what I won't. Waking up one day in your life, living for God or not, no matter whether you live for God today, whether you live for God or not, waking up one day, what it is you're going to be brought to terms with in your life is just what it is you and your life are going to choose to do. What are you going to do? I've shared this a couple of times, probably in the last 20 years, but my grade 10 teacher, he sat there one day, we were sitting there, and he went around the room. What are you going to do? And what are you going to be in 10 years from now? I was only 17 years old. The age of 27, it was my mind. You know, what are you going to be in 10 years? I couldn't tell him what I'd be tomorrow. You decide the course of your path of your life. God doesn't say, serve me or I'll beat you with a baseball bat. I'll strike you with an iron of a lightning strike from heaven. You'll choose to live for God with all of your heart. Will it be you who decides to hold nothing back, but instead to give everything that you have and that you are able to offer unto God? Or will it be you in your life who instead chooses to set your limits of your service and your servitude unto God, as well as what it is that you will do or will not do for Him? I want you to know that everyday Christians of every caliber are they who ponder and are they who in their own lives consider the same. What is it that I will do? What kind of a life will I live for God? Will it be half-hearted, maybe non-committed? Will I choose to live my life for God with limits attached? Is the sacrifice to me, maybe even to you folks this day, is it worth the opportunity of your one day calling heaven your home? We hear the story every Easter and every Christmas, birth and then Easter time is death. You know, he died on that cross and they spit in his face, ripped his beard out, did all kinds of cruel things. And finally, they nailed him to that rugged cross. That's nice. I'm glad he did it, aren't you? But is that sacrifice enough? My having the opportunity of spending my eternity with heaven, with him. Throughout the expanse of biblical history, Bible history, what it is that you will discover is that the multitude of choices, as well as the many decisions that were made by both the leaders as well as the common everyday people of God, families choose to live for God. People in their individual lives choose to live for God or not. Leaders choose to direct their flocks to the higher ground or to let them go into any meadow that they find home to be. As a result, it is, and it was what helped to shape the future outcome of people in general, their decisions. It helped to shape the fabric of the families whose lives are a part of the decision and the choice making, as well as it was what overall influenced the destiny of not just themselves, but the literal destiny of the whole of mankind even today. For example, I want you to hear this. Have you ever wondered what would have happened if Noah, after hearing what it was that God had required of him to do, that he, Noah, simply said, no, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to quit doing that. I refuse to stop doing or going, involving myself with that, etc., etc. Come on, God. Don't you know how long it's going to take to build your ark? I said, no. I won't do it. You ever thought about that? No. God, he took a 2x4. He walked up to Noah and said, you're going to do it or I'll bust you in the head. You read that Bible, don't you? I'll drop kick you through here to glory. I don't know what translation you got. That's not in my Bible. My Bible says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thanks, Noah. I want you to hear me today, church. When it's all said and done and concerns to your life, your walk, your desire to follow, and to do as God is bidding you to do, I want you to know that it all boils down to, and it's exactly what it is I'm talking to you about this afternoon, today, and that is choice. In the end, in view of your walk with God, what you sacrifice, how you give, how you live, and what you're willing to let go of, and just how committed to God you and your life will be, well, it is and will always be a choice, one that is completely up to you. Do you know why I live the way I live? Pastor makes me. Have I told you of the tyrannical ways? He stands out of my house every night with, with signs. Don't be late for Sunday school. Yeah, he follows me home and he asks for my checkbook and he says, have you given to God? You have no idea what I suffer. It's my money, I earned it, I'm keeping it. It's choice. It's my life, I'll live it how I want. Choice. As people begin to consider they're living their lives for God, you could almost hear some people say, surely God wouldn't ask me to stop. I mean, God wouldn't ask me to no longer go. I mean, to do. I mean, I really can't see the reason that I should or I should not. I guess what I'm saying is, and these are some of the things that I struggle with. But that's exactly what this preacher's talking about. Wow. I didn't know it was in there. I didn't know he said stuff like that. I never thought the night, the many times that I in my life would be the one in deciding to live my life for God, it would be the one, I would be the one to struggle with my choices. In the book of Joel, as we read this afternoon, what did the writer write? It was Joel 3:14. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. I want you to know in this assembly here today, there's people who have made choices, who are making choices, who are in the on the verge of making a choice. Some will leave. Some will stay. Some will dedicate everything they got to God and some won't. Some will do and some don't. But it's your choice. Yes, it is. Concerns to your wanting to live your life for God and in your desire to want to be a part of a church, I want you to know how that in and during this decision-making process, it's not always easy for you in your life to just quit some things or to stop doing things that you have been doing or things that you have been a part of your life, some cases for years. Do you know what humanity hates? Can I share that? Change. I don't like change. I'd prove it this afternoon, but we really don't have the time. And it's not the message for that. Maybe on a Wednesday night. I want you all to come in and sit down in your chairs and we'll sing some songs. And then when we're done the songs, before the message starts, I'll ask everybody to change places with somebody else and sit somewhere else. She's in my chair. Get, move. Change. Don't you say foul words to us. You know, just quit. I mean, just stop doing it. Put that down. Come on now. Put that away. Change. And I'll quote from somebody who has got a hook on this and the spouse of this person who says it doesn't like it, and when it's thrust out there, others who hear it don't like it either. Tell yourself, sister. Don't tell me to change. All of us and all that which I've just said all boils down to, and it's... It's what you in your life will decide to do in view of your living your life for God and concerns to your choice, selection. The truth of the matter lies in just how bad you want God to bless you. How serious are you in your desire one day to make heaven your home, your eternal home? And do you really, really want to live your life for God? Or are you just looking for a spiritual soother? Do you want just a pat on the back? It's you in your life who really never makes the choice to change. And that is what it is I'm talking to you about this afternoon. That's what I'm seeking to bring across to you, how that as a people, as God's people together, we're going to be faced with many decisions as to what we or you are going to do and what you're not going to do and what it is that in your living your life for God, these decisions, these choices that you in your walk with God will decide upon. It will ultimately become the deciding factor in whether or not you one day do make heaven your home with God. The scriptures bear it out. Not everybody that says to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We've done mighty works. Depart from me, you work of iniquity. I don't even know you. What? Many are they today in the church world, they are in their lives, they just sit on the fences of indecision and they hesitate and they seek for ways to excuse away the reasons why or why they don't or why they won't do and what it is that God is asking them to do or why they won't commit to and concerns to those of whom I speak. Sad to say, but it's going to be they who in the end will come to discover the fact that they sat there too long in their fence of indecision. They hesitated too much and in their lives they excused away what it is that they in their hearts knew that they should do or should have done. And in the end, as it's they and maybe even some of you that are before me today, as a result, will lose out with God and you'll be eternally absent from the presence of God in the end. I never forget the words in the book of Genesis where it talks about Cain. When Cain killed Abel, and God come to him on that reckoning day, and he cast him out to the land of Nod, I think it was, Cain said these words, my punishment is greater than I can bear. What was it? He was cast from the presence of God. As the morning dawned and the young man arose from his bed, he made his way to the phone and he called his friend and he said, I struggled last night with all of the what ifs and the reasons to or not to, and I've decided what it is that I felt in that service yesterday is exactly what I have been longing to feel, and I want the Bible study and I want to live my life for God. I understand this is my choice, but this is exactly what I am going to choose to do. I want God. I want change. This world hasn't given me nothing. I want God in my life. I want that Holy Ghost down in my soul. I want to feel the anointing. I want to experience the presence, the mercy, and the grace of God. Been in church 37 years, but you know, they say, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, but I'll tell you, something came to light to me when I read this scripture again, when I put it in view of sharing it with you today. If you want it, you can look at Mark 8. We already read it today, Mark 8, chapter 34 and 35. It's worth rereading. It struck me, church. When he, Jesus, called the people unto him. That's good enough, isn't it? With his disciples. Also, buddy, they're already in the pocket of the Lord there. They're his chums, his right hands, you know. They rub shoulders with God in the flesh. He called the people unto him and his disciples also. Decision day. He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel shall save it. Pastor, you're up here. There's people who repent of their sins, baptized in Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled. Wow. Really, Lord? As we round the corner towards the close, I want to tell you this. Jesus never promised that he would come back at a specific time, but that he would indeed one day return. The scriptures record for us signs, warnings, and he, Jesus, in view of his return. However, by the same token, it's God who gives all of us in our lives sufficient amount of time, time for each of us in our lives to decide and to prepare for his return. No amens? I didn't have time. I was talking to somebody the other day. Nobody's coming over to my house for 2 days. Honey, you get the door. I said nobody. You might want to put down the dish towel, hon. Why? We better let this guy in. Oh, you. But I didn't have time, you see, and I know there are decisions to make, but I didn't make them, and pressure and struggling. I wasn't sure, you know, I was trying to decide. It was just a few weeks later, the young man in our story was baptized in Jesus' name and received the gift of the Holy Ghost, speaking in an unknown tongue. It was he and his life as a result of his own choice. He went on living his life for God to the best ability that he could, looking for that same day we look for, the glorious returning of his Savior. And that is where, in the present, the story of the young man's life that we started reading about today continue to be. Entering into a ministry, taking a turn in his life. Even though it was he who in his life was the one who could testify of the night that it was he who struggled with choice. Moving quickly. Book of Ecclesiastes chapter 9, 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. Psalms, Proverbs. The preacher, Ecclesiastes. The writer writes in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For in all of this, it is their choice. Finally, this afternoon is Sister Zotsman comes. Let's quickly turn, if you would please. Don't lose focus. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 26. The book of Hebrews in the New Testament, chapter 11, verse 24 through 26. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Let me encourage you today, to all of you today, in the fact of you're making the right choices and decisions in your life. For in such a time, where it is you who find yourself struggling with the fact of you making a choice, hear this preacher today. Choose, I say, what it is that God would have you to do, and you, my friend, will never regret the fact that you in your life did, in that choice selection, you did what God had said, and you chose. Life, let's stand. See, live for Jesus, my friend. In the end, all that's going to matter, you see? Whatever it is you gain, whatever you get in this world, you can't take it with you. But what it is it's you and your life decide to do for Jesus Christ, that, my friend, will be that which lasts forever. As Sister Zotsman plays, I appeal to you, my friend. The choice is yours. Won't you give it all? Won't you give it all to Jesus and he'll turn your sorrow into joy? Why don't we make our way to this altar? Why don't you come find time to pray? Maybe pray with somebody who's next to you if they don't move from where they are. Come on.